Welcome to Conversations with the Unseen. My name is Andy.
And my name is Laura. And in December 2019, we began an amazing and completely unexpected journey conversing with beings from the unseen world, which has totally transformed our lives.
And here we are, after hundreds and hundreds of hours of conversations, doing what our non-physical friends have been encouraging us to do, sharing their message with others who may be interested.
So let's dive in.
Hello, dear friends.
Hello, Mexicans. So Susan and I are here today to play again.
Greetings to you both.
Greetings to you, Mexicans.
Mexicans, something I often say to you when we are talking is, what would you speak with us about as you perceive the energy? And so, what would you speak with us about as you perceive the energy?
Let us explore something that does not exist, and that is separation. It seems, from a human perspective, that there is a separate me and many separate others, and that there are many aspects to the experience of being human that the human self would describe as out there and therefore not here. And this is part of the wonderful design, the wonderful illusion that has been curated for your enjoyment, for your pleasure, and for your expansion. The human senses are tuned in a particular way to enable the human self to engage with the world of form and to speak of no separation would seem like madness for many people. Such is the depth of the program that is carried by most. There seems to be no question. Of course, there is a separate me with a body and with a personality, a name, and a story. This is rarely questioned. And yet, what if this is an illusion? What if the mind is being tricked into believing in separation? And questions would arise. If there is no separation, then what is there? What does that leave? And how to be with that? Logically, if there is no separation, there must be oneness. Must be unity. And as seen from the non-physical perspective, which is what we bring, that is our perspective, and that is what exists beyond the illusion of the physical, and in fact also does exist in the physical realm. There is nowhere that is separate from oneness, but there is the experience of separation, which is what is happening. Not just physical separation. You have the experience of linear time, a past and a future, or an apparent past and an apparent future. And once again, this is the energy of separateness. When you are focusing on the past or focusing on the future, you are not being in the present. And the present is where you are. And so if there is no past and there is no future, then there is no separation from what seems to have occurred in the past and what has not yet happened in the future. This is very challenging for the human self, the human perspective. Once again, it is a very deeply held program that would say, of course there is a past and a future, because that is the experience of the human self. And so in that way, there is a past and there is a future in your experience, beyond the human experience. There is no linear time. Once again, challenging for the human self, the question arises, if there is no past and no future, what is there? And the answer is, of course, there is now. There is this moment, and this moment is where you are. You are not in the past, the apparent past, and you are not in the future, except that the mind sometimes is in the past or in the future. It is not in the present. And so to begin to be open to the possibility that perhaps there is such a thing as oneness, even though the human experience is not that, but to believe that perhaps that could or does exist. And the idea that perhaps there is no past and no future, that there is just the present moment. It is a big leap for the human self, with these programs being so deeply embedded. But perhaps the human self could question, be open to the possibility that these perspectives could be valid.
What occurs to me is just the conversation that you and I were having, Laura, just before we, the Mexicans joined us. You know, I'm experiencing separation in both of those ways the Mexicans have described. So physically, my husband is not in the same house as me just now. He's in a different part of the country. So there's the physical separation. He was here at the weekend. He's now not, but I will see him again. So there's the linear time separation. And so what the Mexicans are saying there really resonated with me. And the point that I'm hearing them making is, okay, so what is there if there isn't separation? Well, there's oneness. And there's something really comforting about that from the perspective I have right now, that I could focus on the physical separation and the time separation, or I could be open to, and I'm not even sure how to articulate it, but it's something around, I can see the potential, the comforting, the reassurance of being able to experience that oneness.
It's like we wouldn't make it all so significant.
Mm.
I'm thinking about BK when she talks about apparent others come, apparent others go.
What that's making me think, at the point that we're recording this, a few days ago, Thich Nhat Hanh passed away. Thich Nhat Hanh was a Buddhist monk, a teacher, a practitioner, an amazing spiritual guide for lots and lots of people around the world. And there's been a lot of ceremonies and events going on in Vietnam where he was from, where he lived in Plum Village, which was the community that he set up. And the thing that's coming out most that I'm hearing from people is he spent many years preparing people for his death. And the thing that he kept saying to people was, I won't be gone. I'll be in the clouds. I'll be in the sun. I'll be in the grass you're walking on. And that really for me is kind of that sense of oneness, that the physical manifestation of that person may be gone, maybe permanently from, you know, the human perspective of death, or temporarily in the experience of my husband not being here right now. But yet oneness means that we are all everywhere. And yeah, that feels quite comforting.
There's a really beautiful part in The Way of Mastery where it says, what the human self calls death is literally like just walking into another room. When what is called death occurs in this reality, that actually it was also set up that way to help us look beyond the physical, to look to the unseen. There was a really beautiful story I heard about a man whose father was dying, and he was talking to his dad and they were excited about how it was going to change their relationship because the father was no longer going to be in his body. But actually, so they were going to have a connection. It was just going to be a different kind of connection. And that was just, wow. We're so obsessed with the form, Mexicans. Like you say, it's like, to say we're not separate seems insane, and many have probably been killed by for saying like shit like this. And yet we defend the lie as if our life depended on it, which actually I guess in human form it does. It seems easier to believe the lie than it does to like believe like what's true. It's so upside down.
Yeah. I have a question. What would make the human self come on this journey to believe that separation isn't real? Because as you just said, it's much more difficult.
Is it the human self or is it the non-physical self? Because the human self doesn't exist before. It's here on this journey. It's the character. It is my understanding. I feel like we're having this banana conversation. Like,
who you really are is having an experience of being human. And being human means that you inhabit a dimension in which there is contrast, and how things work, how life works, is opposite to the non-physical. The non-physical, where there is oneness and where there is only love. The world of form is not like that. And yet it can be experienced in that way by accessing a perspective that is beyond the illusion. And you have that perspective. That perspective is the perspective of who you really are. The inner being is beyond the illusion. The inner being, who you really are, is having the experience through the human character, the human form, having the experience of contrast. This is a choice the inner being made to come and play in this way. Knowing that whatever it seems like, there is nothing to lose. There is only something to gain. And that something to gain takes many forms. Experiences that require a physical body and a physical realm to engage with. Something to gain can come in the form of expanded awareness to experience and know yourself to be that love, that expression of Great Spirit in a world that seems to be filled with the opposite, fear and hatred and all those derivatives, those experiences that cause the human self to question, how is it that this can happen. And it certainly does seem like it is happening. It is happening on one level, but it is a false reality. It is purely for the inner being to have this experience and to be who you really are in this physical realm of contrast requires the human self to awaken, to be able to remember who you really are and to recognize that this experience you are having is not how the universe works. The universe is abundant. The human perspective would be that there is scarcity, limitation, competition for limited resources. And to transform the experience of the world of form requires a different perspective, the perspective of the inner being, that is not under the influence of these deeply held programs that are part of the experience of being human. And when the human self is able to move in that direction, life changes. What seemed important before does not seem so important. And the new quest becomes discovery and freedom. The freedom to be who you really are in this playground, in this upside down reality, knowing that there is nothing at stake. You cannot lose. It is a game that it is only possible to win. And your winnings come in many ways in the form of enjoyment and expansion. And so when the human self poses the question, what to do or how to apply this awareness that we are sharing, the answer is a familiar one. Look to the inner being.
So Mexicans, this is not the first time that you and I have talked about separation being a lie. And I have been sitting with that. And there's been all sorts of things that have been occurring to me, one of which is the absolute miraculousness of the creation of this thing called being a human being on planet Earth and having this body. That just really struck me as wow. And it's not real, like wow. I'm sitting in a small cabin on a hillside and I cannot tell you the gratitude I feel for whoever brought the sofa down this crazy, crazy tiny path that you cannot drive down. I'm like, how did he do that? And so I literally was sitting here feeling like, oh wow, the entire universe conspired to bring this for me in this moment, like the nowness of that. And so for me, it's like when I look at the idea of separation, looking at the physical and being and all of the senses, it seems like a completely absurd idea. However, when I look to the energy and look at its energy that's creating everything, it seems so obvious and so delicious. And I guess what I've been experiencing is every time I look to the physical, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Because something Mexicans you said that I absolutely loved when we were talking recently was you said you cannot lose anything because you cannot possess anything. You only have an experience of it. And it feels really exciting to live from that possibility because now it feels like I can hear a little more what Byron Katie was saying the world's a friendly place. If you don't believe in separation, if you don't believe that lie, it couldn't be anything else than a friendly place.
Do you know what's coming to mind is something that I learned some years ago, and it's kind of a Buddhist perspective on separation and the self. And the analogy was around water and how water can take many different forms. Water can be solid when it freezes, but it can melt again. And there's something about, and it kind of always resonated with me, because that sense of when I have experienced myself as separate and as a person with all the labels that I could put to that particular person, it's like I've become ice, I've become an ice cube. And when I can let that go and, you know, like water, change form again, there's much more fluidity, there's much more ease with that. And I guess for me, it is that feeling of when I'm, when I become, I guess, contracted around an identity I might be holding for myself in that moment, it feels very, very different to when I can let go of that. And for me, that's part of the feeling of when I connect with the inner being, is when there isn't that sense of solidity there. I feel I have access to inner resources that don't appear to be there when I'm in that more contracted, solid state of who I am.
And we would say to move from that solid, fixed state energetically to a more flowing and fluid state requires the human self to let go, to be willing to not know, to not understand, to not control or try to control what is happening. There is an acceptance that the human self is part of something greater. When the human self is trying to control and manage its experience, this is another example of the perspective of separation. If the human self were to know that there was no separation, there would be no need for it to control or try to. It would just be flowing. The human self would flow and would allow whatever is occurring in the present moment to be its experience. When the human self believes itself to be the center of its universe and oh so wise and oh so intelligent, it is helpful to reflect on what exactly can the human self do completely of itself, with no involvement from anything outside of the human body. And we would suggest that there is nothing that the human self can do except to be, just be human in that moment, and to know itself to be part of this greater energy soup, that it is an important part of that energy soup, and it makes a contribution for sure. The human self is essential. Without the human self, the universe would be incomplete. And yet, the human self can believe itself to be the center of that universe. And we would say there is only one center of that universe, and that is Great Spirit.
This human self has spent much of its experience being quite dissatisfied with the present moment in one way, form or another. It would be better if there was more of this, less of that, whatever it is. And something that you've really helped me with, Mexicans, is looking to the energy I'm being in the now moment. So if I'm choosing irritation and frustration repeatedly in the now moment, I can expect life to show up in a way that mirrors more of that to me. And there's something really freeing about that, because again, what that is doing is it's helping me to look to the energy I'm being in the present moment rather than the physicality of the present moment. Because it seems to me that every time I'm hoodwinked, which is a lot, by the physical world, and being tricked by the senses, that's me back in separation. And so actually to come back into the present moment and to connect with the energy and be intentional. And a question I sometimes ask when I'm sitting is, show me how who I really am is experiencing this moment. And it's always expanded. And so it's, for me, it's looking that direction, not what the physical self thinks is missing or wrong.
And to focus on the energy, which is reflected back in the physical world, the physical surroundings that the human self is experiencing in the moment. To focus on the energy is to be the director of the experience, to be the energy that one desires to be. And the human self can sometimes see this differently. It can sometimes say, when things are different for me in the physical, then I will have a different energy. I will feel different. And that is to reverse the way this principle operates, where to be the energy first will mean that the experience changes. Perhaps not physically, but the experience will feel different.
Yeah, because doing it to try and make the physical change is still the human self manipulating. It's pretending to have let go, but it's not really let go.
Trying to be in control. And so what we have shared has the potential to transform not just a life, but an entire dimension of experience. We would encourage anyone who is curious to not try to reach a mountaintop in a single step, but to move gradually in the direction of what we are sharing. Another way to carry out an experiment would be to change a thought. And the thought is frequently some variation of, what can I get from this present moment? How can I benefit from what is happening or seems to be happening in this moment? And the thought that could replace that would be, what can I contribute? How can I be of service? How can I offer myself to what is happening in this moment? This, of course, is a gentle way of chipping away at the idea that there is a separate me. Because of course, when you look upon another, you look upon yourself. Another challenging concept, but this is another expression of Great Spirit. And therefore, to try to get something from another is not being who you really are. Being who you really are would be being as Great Spirit would be in that present moment, being the presence of love, to love unconditionally that apparent other. And this can be done in small ways, small steps in the direction of being more of who you really are.
And something that's been really fun for me is I've just been sitting, imagining, if I didn't believe in the lie of separation, how would this experience be? And that feels really low risk for the human self. Do you have any final words, Mexicans?
A reminder that who you are experiencing is love. Everything that is real is love. We are love. You are love. And anything that is not love is not real. And we flow love to you both.
Thank you, Mexicans.
Thank you, Mexicans, and thank you, Susan.
Until next time.
Until next time.
You've been listening to Conversations with the Unseen.
If you'd like to know when there's a new conversation available, then remember to subscribe and also to share it with others.
If you'd like to have a written transcript of each conversation, then you'll find this on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
And if you have a question you'd like us to ask on your behalf, or if you would like to join the mailing list, then you can also do that on the website conversationswiththeunseen.com.
Until next time.